This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton is with us. He's in the studio right here on Rose Hill Drive. Is it hot enough for you out there?
It is. It is very hot.
I've been a little graphic because I came in here and I've just drenched in sweat. It's so hot. That's why it's so cold in this room.
Because it is steamy. It was just, yeah. You know. It's like a 20-minute drive for me to get down here, and it was pretty miserable.
Yeah, because you come all the way down Forest Lakes. You get a new Kohl's up there, though.
We're getting a new Kohl's.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
You got a lot of stuff up there.
Got a lot
of stuff
up there.
When I moved to town, they were just starting to build Forest Lakes.
Oh, I see.
Back in the late 80s, they were just starting to put
it
in.
That's right. It's about 20 years old.
Yeah.
The shopping center's
up
there.
But now you go up there, and it's just like, boom.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much up there now.
Yeah. Well, we got three grocery stores. You know, we got the Food Lion. We got the Target.
The Teeter. You can go teetering.
And the Teeter. Yeah. Yeah. Which is the most expensive of the three.
The Teeter is?
Yeah, the Teeter is.
You also got
to be careful,
that...
though. Sometimes you can get breaks at the Teeter.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's the nicest one.
Oh, yeah. I usually go teetering when I go shopping.
It's fun.
You also had the nicest Dairy Queen I've seen in my life.
Got a beautiful Dairy Queen.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Right across the parking lot from a beautiful Subway, and they're owned by the same family.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
A really nice.
Is that why they look
Indian,
similar?
A really nice Indian family, and they are really hardworking. Those are great folks. We go up there to Dairy Queen all the time. The blizzards are great.
Yeah, that place is always packed.
I love the
blizzards. What's that restaurant in that shopping center? It's,
in that shopping
I've never
center,
been there.
There's a McDonald's. Which shopping center? The one with the Food Lion?
It's behind the Arby's.
Like
a restaurant.
There's Martin's, and there's a Riverside North. There's a bunch of stuff up there. Yeah.
There's some kind of...
In the market.
There's some kind of... up near the McDonald's in that shopping center.
Oh, it's Timberwood Grill.
That's what I'm thinking of. You ever been there?
But it's not... It's across the street from the McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but it's in that... It's on that...
In that area, yeah.
Is that any good? I've never been
it
there.
It is. It's good. It's a sandwich place. They've got a nice bar area. You know, a lot of folks congregate in the evenings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you have the Belmont, the Bel Air Market North up there.
My friend Rick
Moore up there designed that whole thing. And they got great food there.
They got really good food there. Yeah, they got good sandwiches.
You go to that seafood place? What's that called?
The seafood place.
Now, this is over by the Target. I've never been there either.
Oh, the Bonefish Grill.
Yeah.
The Bonefish Grill is the best place north of the river.
I mean, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Get out. Are you serious?
Absolutely. Would I lie to you?
Now, what do you get there? What do you get
Coy?
There?
We get all kinds of stuff. We get the Bang Bang Shrimp. I mean, the appetizers are to die for.
Really?
You can get like three or four appetizers, and that's dinner.
See, you're making me hungry
it's
now.
Fantastic.
I got to check that
you
out.
You got to get the
Bonefish Grill.
Bonefish Grill. And you know what? Because it looks really, really nice, and it looks fancy inside, and it's got nice atmosphere, people think that it's expensive. It's not more expensive than a lot of other...
It's what they call reasonable.
It's reasonable.
There you go.
It's very reasonable.
I like reasonable, Rick.
Reasonable's good. I can work with reasonable.
I love the reasonable.
Yeah, it is reasonable. I know my wife is smiling right now because she loves the Bonefish Grill. Absolutely.
And when I get seafood, I tend to like the bowl of pasta with... A little crab, a little shrimp, a little scallops. I like that.
I've never been a big seafood. You know, I'm not like a plate with a fillet of fish.
Me either.
I like shrimp and scallops and little bits of crab.
And I like crab cakes.
Crab cakes are good.
They're good.
Yeah.
Kathy's on the line. Kathy, what are you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, you're talking about Forest Lakes. How about Rutgersville that now has the Lowe's and the Walmart's getting finished? There's going to be a McDonald's on the corner in October.
There you go. Yeah, Rutgersville's taking off, aren't they? Yeah.
It is.
And then it had the combination restaurant originally, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, all in one building.
I remember that.
Because they're all owned by Coke.
The most interesting one, I was driving down somewhere way out in southeastern Virginia, and I saw something that nobody should ever be allowed to build.
What was that?
What's that?
Combination McDonald's, Baskin-Robbins, Krispy Kreme. Are you crazy?
That sounds great.
Like, well, I'll just clog my arteries and sit here for the rest of the day. I thought you might find that amusing.
I love it. Kathy, happy little Friday. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
There's Kathy, good friend of the program and of the station. And Lord have mercy, that'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Golly, only in America. That's what America needs.
Slice that Krispy Kreme into and put a Big Mac in between.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Either side of the Krispy
Kreme. Poor America. That's the last thing we need is more fat, sugar, and salt.
And then deep fry it. Deep fry it.
Rick Britton is live in studio with us, and we're honored to have him here. And before we start continuing our countdown, exploring the major Civil War battles that were fought in Virginia.
We want to
the most important.
Right.
We want to remind folks about your Civil War lecture and day trip series, which is always, every time you do it, it's more and more popular.
Right. It's getting more and more popular all the time. We're having a lot of fun with the great folks over there at the Senior Center, Inc., and they keep after me to add the Inc. to it. That's real important. But it's coming up this coming Wednesday, July 21st, and coincidentally, Robert E.L. Crick, Bobby Crick, is coming up from Richmond to talk about the Battle of Malvern Hill. And that was fought on July 1st, 1862. And coincidentally, that's our next one on our list.
Sweet!
So he's going to be talking about that on Wednesday, July 21st, and it's absolutely free. It's at 6 o'clock. Come on by. Bring all your friends. And then the very next week on Wednesday, July 28th, we're going to Richmond. We're going to see an NPS, National Park Service, museum down at Tredegar. We're going to have lunch at the, oh my gosh, now I forgot, the tobacco company. Everybody loves the tobacco company.
Of course. What's not to love about
Chaco
the tobacco
Slip.
Company?
Then we're going to go and I'm going to give a tour of the Malvern Hill battlefield. So it's going to be a great day, an all-day long Civil War trip.
There you
go.
Yep. And you get more information from the Senior Center, Inc., and that's online at seniorcenterinc.org, right?
That's right. Or you can call the folks at the travel office. It's 974-6538.
There you go. And we're on number 7 on our list. Remind us of the first 6 that we've already talked about, and we want to remind people that they can get listen to these conversations that you and I have had online.
That's right.
WINA.com, or just go to SevillePodcast.com
as
well.
That's right.
And you can listen right there on your computer to Rick talking about each of these battles in depth.
That's right. And we've got 24. I know you're after me to make it an even 25, but I think I'm going to hold it at 24,
okay.
Perhaps. Maybe later on as we get down there, I'll add another one in. But so far, it's going 1-6. It's First Manassas, the Monitor versus the Virginia, Fort Darling, also known sometimes as Drury's Bluff, Seven Pines, also known as Fair Oaks, the twin battles, they're only one day apart, Cross Keys and Port Republic at the end of Jackson's 1862 Valley Campaign. And then number 6 was Gaines's Mill.
There you go. That was number 6. And these are the most, in your view, the most important Civil War battles that were fought in Virginia.
And I'm glad you said my view. This is very subjective. Subjective. It's my list. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. And before we talk about number 7, Malvern Hill, we had a caller remind us that Arby's, well, not Arby's, but these restaurants you mentioned, the Taco Bell, and they're not owned by Coke. They're owned by Pepsi-Cola.
Pepsi Coke.
There you go. I'm a Coke man.
Okay. I'm a Pepsi guy.
Well, I'm from Atlanta. I got to
be a
Coke guy.
Yeah. But see, I drank Dr. Pepper, and Dr. Pepper's owned by Pepsi. So
Dr. Pepper's good.
I'm a Dr. Pepper guy.
I do like Dr. Pepper.
That's Pepsi.
Although I don't drink as much soda as I used to.
Me neither.
You know what I drink?
Mm-hmm.
Those zero vitamin waters.
Yeah.
They're good.
Are you hungry right now? Because you keep bringing it back to food. Food and drinks.
I'm always hungry.
You must be hungry.
I'm always hungry.
Yeah.
All right. Number 7. Malvern Hill. Where is it? And what happened?
Malvern Hill is on the Virginia Peninsula. It's just north of the James River. And for those of you who have just moved to this area of Virginia, the peninsula in Virginia, you know, we talk about the peninsula and the valley. The peninsula is the strip of land that runs between Richmond approximately and Norfolk, Virginia Beach, that area down there. And it's in between the James River to the south and the York River to the north. So it runs from Richmond to Virginia Beach. It runs southeast. And so Malvern Hill, it's about 20 miles southeast of Richmond, just north of the James River. And it's the last of the 7 days' battles. And I picked 2 out of the 7 days. They're my 2 favorites, but they're also the 2 bloodiest. And that's the reason I picked them, is because they're the 2 biggest battles with the heaviest casualties. And so they're more indicative of the 7 days' battles. The whole idea was Robert E. Lee had just taken over the Confederate Army outside of Richmond. He renamed it the Army of Northern Virginia. And as I've said many, many times, he was anxious to get back to Northern Virginia, and he did.
That was like,
yeah, he's letting people know.
It was marketing.
I'm not going to be around Richmond for long. We're going to get up to Northern Virginia, where we ought to be fighting this war, not around the Confederate capital, and started attacking McClellan's army, and proved that he was very assertive, that he was audacious and very aggressive, and in a series of battles over 7 days, forced the Federal Army with mostly bloody attacks back from the Confederate capital. So you could say that at the end of the Battle of Malvern Hill, and this is the final one, McClellan withdrew again. He withdrew from Malvern Hill down to his depot that was on the James River that he established at Harrison's Landing, which is really Berkeley Plantation. So he moved a little bit further southeast down the peninsula. By the end of that...
And this is all between Richmond and Williamsburg.
That's right.
Yeah.
By the end of the campaign, you know, this large federal army was now pretty much cowering on the James River. They had been forced back mainly by aggressiveness and by Robert E. Lee taking the aggressive stance and putting the Federals on the defensive stance, even though they outnumbered the Confederate Army. So, you know, one of the things that you want to do in chess, in any game of military strategy or military tactics, is you want to take the initiative. And Robert E. Lee completely took the initiative away from George Brinton McClellan. So by the end of this battle, you know, the Federal Army was cowering on the banks of the James River, protected by its gunboats, supplied by transports coming up up the James River, delivering foodstuffs and war material and ammunition. But let's get to Malvern Hill itself.
Did they finally abandon the peninsula, the Federals?
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
They finally said, this is not the way we're going to get to Richmond.
Except for Fortress Monroe. Yeah, they went all the way back to Fortress Monroe, and that army was withdrawn from Harrison's Landing. But we're going to get to that in just a moment. So the Battle of Malvern Hill was fought on July 1st, 1862, and there's a lot of really interesting things about this fight. It's just north of the James River. In fact, there were Union gunboats in the river behind the Federal Army that were lobbing shells, these huge, massive rifled shells at the Confederates. So that played a small part in the battle. We're used to looking at these maps with the hatch marks showing the hills as it was done back then and as I draw them even nowadays, making them look like they were from back then. We're used to looking at those, and so a lot of people are deceived as to what Malvern Hill actually is. And looking at the maps, you think it's this towering summit, and it's not, you know, with a military crest and a sharp slope all around, and it's not. What it is a very, very gradual slope, and in some places it's almost imperceptible, a very gradual slope, but a long, open field of fire. And it runs from the south, just above the James River, to the north. So here's another instance that's kind of ironic. The Federals are on the south, and the Confederates are attacking from the north, with the Federals defending in a southern position. It has creeks and marshes and fairly precipitous slopes on the east and west. So they are able to stretch a large number of artillery pieces, over 200, across the top of this hill. So they had about a day to prepare this position. So when Robert E. Lee showed up and was warned that he shouldn't attack the Federal Army, he decided to go ahead and attack them at Malvern Hill anyway, probably because over the course of all of these 7 days' battles, they had been retiring. And so I think he probably overestimated their morale situation, overestimated that they were already cowed. Overestimated that they had already
the northern
lost,
troops
that they had already lost any initiative, but they certainly held on at Malvern Hill. And so, because there were marshes and streams on either side, the Confederate attacks were funneled right up this long open field of fire, up this gradual slope. And so, one attack after another was completely decimated, completely destroyed by this really intense Federal artillery fire. They tried to break up the defending Federal artillery by bringing up Confederate artillery, but because they were already in place, every time a few Confederate batteries would show up, the Federal artillery would focus on them and decimate them and force them back. And so they were never able to get artillery superiority. And that's one of the things you want to do when you're attacking a position, is you want to develop artillery superiority, and then you can focus on the defending infantry. They were never able to do that.
What do you mean by artillery superiority?
Well,
enough more cannons and things like that?
Well, superiority on the battlefield. The first job of an artillery battery on the field is to knock out the enemy artillery. And so that's when you achieve artillery superiority. So the first job is you take on the enemy artillery. Then once you have superiority over that, then you take on the enemy infantry.
So you get their cannons.
So you take on what's threatening you first.
Yeah.
You take that on. You gain superiority over that. Then you take on their infantry, their defending infantry or the infantry that's attacking you. The Confederates attempted to do that, but because there were so many guns already in position and they were thrown in piecemeal, they weren't able to do that at all. And so it was a disastrous series of attacks, one after another. At the end of the battle, there were about 5,000 Confederate killed and wounded on that long slope, and only about 3,600 Federals. So you could argue that the Battle of Malvern Hill was a Federal tactical victory because they held on at Malvern Hill. But nonetheless, McClellan the very next day chose to retire. And usually when somebody retires from the field, that's giving the initiative to the enemy and granting that the enemy had won. Strategically, the 7 days battles, you'd have to argue that Robert E. Lee won strategically because he forced the Federal Army back. But he suffered a number of defeats along the way.
Yeah. We're talking with Rick Britton, historian, cartographer, award-winning author. His website is rickbritton.com. We are exploring the most important Civil War battles that were fought here in the state of Virginia. And so that brings to an end then the effort of the Union Army
to take
the Confederate capital in Richmond by way of the peninsula.
They
realized they weren't going to get there that way.
They're not going to get there that way because he had completely taken the initiative away.
And
from
this is 18 summer of 1862, summer and this is when Lincoln realizes, holy cow, this is going to take me a lot longer than I thought, right?
Yeah, because this is effort number two now. The direct route ended in First Manassas. The route up the peninsula, which really had a lot to say for it because the Federal Navy could dominate the waters on either side, the James River and the York River.
You would have thought they could have brought the Navy so far up the James River.
Yeah, but then there
right
was,
near Richmond.
Yeah, but then there was the Battle of Fort Darling, Drury's Bluff, where they were halted, remember, on the James River.
Right. We talked about that. All of these conversations with Rick are available by podcast at SevillePodcast.com or WINA.com. We might have time really quick for Second Manassas.
Well, Second Manassas isn't one that we can do really quickly. Second Manassas is there because of the campaign, and the campaign is pretty involved.
Mm.
It's pretty involved. So I don't know if we can do that one in just a short time. How much time do we have?
We have, I'm not quite sure, one, two, I don't know. We got like, three or four minutes.
Well, what was happening at this time was another Northern Army had been formed outside of Washington, and that began advancing into Northern Virginia. That was an army under John Pope. And John Pope, kind of like McClellan, was very full of himself.
So Lincoln had had enough of McClellan at this point.
Yeah, but he was still down there with that army, and
okay.
He was still commander-in-chief. He was not commander-in-chief, but he was in control of all of the armies.
Okay.
And they formed another army in Northern Virginia. So now Robert E. Lee has to face two. And this army, it starts advancing southward from Washington, D.C. into Northern Virginia and got all the way to the Rappahannock River. The Rappahannock is the one that flows through Fredericksburg. So Robert E. Lee did something living up to his middle name, Audacity. He left behind a holding force to watch McClellan, knowing that he had taken the initiative away from him and took the balance of his army away from Richmond into Northern Virginia to face John Pope. And I think I want to leave the Battle of Second Manassas for the next episode.
We'll do that. Rick Britton, local author, historian, cartographer. Check him out online at rickbritton.com and get more information about his Civil War lecture and day trip series offered through the Senior Center Inc.'s travel office. And these lectures are free. You can just walk in.
Lectures are absolutely free, so everybody come.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll get more information about that by getting in touch with the Senior Center, and they'll provide you with all the information.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.